brother. Oh, what's up?
This is a group recording, man.
Yeah, brother, dig it. Stop right on.
All right. Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. And this is happening. It's becoming far too familiar. Coming in here in the morning. Oh, who that goomer?
I'm the guy that's far too familiar.
No, just coming into the studio, it's becoming far too familiar. Good morning, Sandy. How you doing?
I'm all right. How about you?
Man, I'm doing fine. It's it's always refreshing and less challenging coming in the morning when you're here.
Less challenging.
Yeah, less formidable.
Oh, that's I'm an easy mountain to climb.
So how was the weekend?
We did do some fireworks last night. We talked about that last Friday, and
yeah.
I suggested that there might be some illicit pyrotechnics, and it turns out there was.
So I'm sure the grandchildren loved it.
They did. There was it was quite a spectacle. And we listened carefully for sirens. None. There were none.
Did you have them on a barge on the river?
Well, they were next to the river. It was safe. We did it very safely.
Yeah, I know, but you got the river, so I'm figuring you had a big barge set up.
Well, it wasn't that elaborate.
Well, knowing you, it's pretty elaborate, but it had to be. So this is the end of it. You brought up the rear, the end of the fireworks.
Well, we didn't shoot all of them.
So are you telling me you're gonna shoot some more?
Could happen again.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're at that time. What is it? The middle of July, almost.
Well, Bastille Day is still to be had, right?
Right. Yeah. Right. So you know, I remember. I haven't been to Bastille Days since I was a young man. You've been on the Bastille Days, and
yeah. It's a pleasant thing to walk. It's a much more pleasant experience than Summerfest. Summerfest is
it's too big,
sprawling, crowded. Yeah, Bastille Days kind of fresh, you know.
Yeah, you know, I have completely forgotten about Bastille Days. When I was younger, it was a must appear event, and I'm glad you mentioned Bastille Days. When is it?
Well, July 14th is Bastille Day, so it's usually around that. I'm sure it's that'd be
this weekend.
Yeah, it's this weekend.
Yeah. Well, I got.
I'm sure it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, that kind of thing.
Well, that's somewhere to go. I mean, I think it's been a while, but I'll be glad to get down there. Always just acquaintance of it, but I'm sure by now it's got to be huge.
It's much bigger. They take more city blocks. There's more food vendors.
More live entertainment.
Yeah, I haven't been there for a couple of years. So
well, yeah, because
I'm not sure they had it during the pandemic.
No, I don't think they had it during the pandemic. But it is, I think, just a great event. It's always been a great event. I'll get a chance to go down and enjoy it. It's always been enjoyable. But I it was something else that I wanted to talk about. Before we got into the show, and it'll soon come to me. Oh,
it's already come to you.
Yeah. Well, you know, a few months ago, we didn't see a lot of vehicles on these car lots, new car lots.
Mm-hmm.
Sandy, the vehicles are starting to come back. Something is going on in the supply chain. So what is that? I mean, why?
Well, actually, it was interesting. There was an article yesterday about lumber prices. Lumber prices.
Yeah, they're going up.
No, they're going down.
Oh, they're starting to go down.
Oh, no, they plummeted. They're half of what they were a year and a half ago. There was a slight surge. You know, they peaked out in 2021 in the spring. And then 6 months later, there was a little bit of a spike again. And now they're half the price. and the futures of them looked like the price might continue to depress. And people are saying that this is the bellwether, the leading indicator of recession. You know, that this could demonstrate that demand is slacking, and so is this reflects a slacking in demand for new housing, and also there has been a cooling in the real estate market, and so the supply chain undoubtedly will catch up. You know, the economists have said it's sort of a bitter pill, but recession is the cure for shortage.
It's strange you say that, because I was reading something. Here it is in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel on yesterday. Inflation means higher construction costs, but downtown Milwaukee apartment developments are still coming thanks to strong demand. So, Sandy, how explain?
Well, construction costs include materials costs,
right,
but they also include labor costs and concrete and a variety of things that might continue to have an inflating price. But lumber, at least, is dropping in price.
Well, it should drop, because it really escalated. I mean,
well, yeah.
Is that what you mean by when you said these are commodities?
Yeah,
and
yeah. I mean, commodities are very volatile, and lumber is a commodity. Lumber is probably the most volatile of the commodities associated with construction. So, lumber prices have always been relatively volatile, but what they did a year and a half ago, they tripled actually in the space of about 6 months. And they peaked out in the spring of 2021.
And even at the time that they did that, construction continued. It was a hot market.
Well, a lot of construction. My son was involved in a project, but you know, projects get going; they're contracted, and
they have no choice but to stay.
They have no choice but to continue, and it really depends on who has assumed the risk of the lumber price. It could be the contractor, it could be the developer. It really depends on how the contracts are drawn up as to who is going to bear the risk of this volatile lumber price and materials price. But projects continue once they start. They continue either they run amok and go under, or they continue.
You know, where is it at? You know, Sandy, I'm just flustered, because I know where I wanted to go, and my wife's not here to help me. I had it
all. Am I a surrogate for your wife here? What?
I mean, the way I had to show situate. Oh, here it is. Okay. Here in Waukesha, the jails are overcrowded, and so there's pushback and argument about what to do with all of these prisoners. This is not Milwaukee County, this is Waukesha County.
Mm-hmm.
And all I could help but think, Sandy, is all over these jails and whatnot, they just crammed with people.
Yeah.
And you always talked about plans. Where is the plan?
Well,
because when you increase, and you say we want to make sure we increase law enforcement and we want to increase sending people to jail, that's easy to say, right? But shouldn't there be some plans?
Well, you'd think we would actually do an analysis of who we incarcerate and who we send to jail. I mean, law enforcement does not require incarceration. You can go to a number of countries, and Norway and almost all of Scandinavia has a much different approach to the handling of crimes, and they actually have a much better result in terms of recidivism, the repeat crimes. So, you know, maybe part of our process is we ought to evaluate
what the crime is.
What crimes require imprisonment? And that clearly was the case. You know, in 1971, we had a surplus of prison space. And in 1990, we had a shortage. And there wasn't much difference, really, in what was going on, or even that much difference in the crime statistics. But we had changed our approach to crime. So we had this three strikes and you're out.
Right.
We had mandatory truth prison sentencing.
No parole.
No parole. We had done all kinds of things that were going to increase the prison population, but not necessarily, they were not necessarily the result of something that was going on in society. And furthermore, all of that crowding of prisons, which was the result of increased incarceration, did not have an impact on a reduction in crime out in society. So maybe we just need to reevaluate how we approach this whole thing.
You know, Sandy, you just took the words out of my mouth. There's nothing with all of that that says things are safer or things are going to get better because we keep locking people up. Not to mention the sheer cost.
Well, you know, to some extent, locking people up is sending them to the College of Crime. You know, in the United States, at least, incarceration, everyone understands that incarceration is not necessarily something that will cause someone to come out of prison
a better person.
A different person, right, than they went in. In fact, I think most people believe, if you ask them, that going to prison probably causes you to become a different and potentially more dangerous person.
You know, I think it's either Tuesday or Thursday of this week, I've got some guys who are going to be here who are talking about exactly that, the fact that we've got, what did they used to call it, Sandy? Corrections? Department of Corrections?
Yeah, we have a Department of Corrections. We had a parole. I mean,
So what does corrections mean? Let's challenge what they mean by corrections.
Yeah.
Because it used to be, maybe back from what I used to read about the 50s and things like that, that they would actually do that. They would focus and concentrate on correcting behavior in the prisons.
Yes. I mean, I think prisons used to have, there used to be an intent that people would go to prison and that things would be done to help them change their path,
right,
in a more positive manner. And now I think we've decided that prisons are just a place we stash people and keep them out of society until they have to be returned to society. And we've even privatized prisons so that the public can wash their hands of what goes on in the prisons. We can simply create a process where we warehouse people.
Sandy, hold that thought. Got to go to a break. I see you, Al. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. Sandy Williams is here. We'll be right back.